Coming up on KNX Los Angeles.
A little more shaking felt in the Southland about a half hour ago.
LA police back on alert to keep order around several social services offices as long lines for food stamps for some unruly crowds.
Recent earthquake activity may force some changes for building codes in Southern California.
And on the Osgood file, Charlie tells us getting paid for a sick day isn't always so easy.
Plenty of news ahead.
All you need to know, KNX 1070 News Radio.
48 degrees in Hollywood now, KNX News Time, 7 o'clock. The World News Roundup on KNX 1070 is sponsored by your Southern California Lexus dealer, who invites you to test drive a Lexus today.
Good Thursday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. As one lawman says, the walls are really closing in on figure skater Tanya Harding, who NBC News reports could be arrested as early as today in the attempt to cripple Olympic rival Nancy Kerrigan. Her ex-husband, Jeff Gillooly, reportedly has implicated her in exchange for a lighter sentence. The FBI's Bart Gorey.
Obviously, this is progress that he's talking, sure.
This is Dan Revive in Portland, Oregon. Jeff Gillooly's lawyer refused to reveal what his client said to the FBI and a county investigator for 5.5 hours.
You know, no comment means no comment.
But it's believed Gillooly turned against his ex-wife, offering evidence that Harding was part of the plot to cripple Nancy Kerrigan. However, the law in Oregon requires concrete evidence. Testimony by alleged co-conspirators is not enough to convict someone. Harding's admirers, such as Patrick Rice, one of hundreds who've been watching her practice for the Olympics, are astounded that barely a week after Gillooly shared a home with Harding, he's trying to get her locked up.
When you break up with a spouse or somebody you've been living with just recently, and then you, even if she's guilty, and then you implicate that person like the very next day or within 2 days, it really makes you question the relationship they had. It just makes you wonder where the heck he's coming from.
For many at the ice rink, Norway next month is vital for Harding. Head-to-head competition with the now recovering Kerrigan.
No matter what happens, I don't care if she goes to jail. She's still a better skater.
Flora Mae Croft, the leader of the Tanya Harding fan club that claims to have doubled its membership this month to 800. Dan Revive, CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
In Jackson, Mississippi today, prosecutors begin a third attempt to convict white supremacist Bayon de la Beckwith in the 1963 murder of civil rights leader Medgar Evers. The jury was chosen in rural Batesville. Dennis Turner of Memphis affiliate WREG-TV reports.
You happy with the way the jury selection turned out, sir?
Bayon de la Beckwith answered the question with silence and an icy stare. The self-described white supremacist will go on trial for the 30-year-old murder of civil rights leader Medgar Evers. Attorneys have chosen 8 blacks and 4 whites to hear new evidence allegedly tying Beckwith to the Evers slaying. Jurors were immediately bussed about 3 hours away to Jackson, where prosecutors will present their case. Evers' widow says she has great confidence in the prosecution's case and doesn't believe race will play a part in the jury's decision.
I'm very hopeful that this time justice will be done.
The trial is expected to take at least 2 weeks. Dennis Turner for CBS News. Batesville, Mississippi.
He's been running for months, but Iran-Contra figure Oliver North made it official in Norfolk this morning. He's a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in Virginia.
Today's the beginning of a very special journey for you and for me. It's a journey to recapture what government is really all about.
North says if elected, he would serve only one term. It's 3 minutes past the hour.
KNX 1070 News Radio.
The way the world works, you never know until it's too late whether the used car you bought is a gem or one that's going to wheeze over to the side of the road and give up the ghost in the middle of nowhere. There is an alternative, though. A Lexus certified pre-owned car. Every certified pre-owned Lexus comes with roadside assistance with an available serviceman just a phone call away. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even early Thursday morning, say 2 a.m., out on Pear Blossom Highway, 40 miles from town. Not that that's so important. Maybe one of those truckers would stop for you. Maybe not. See your Southern California Lexus dealer for complete details.
United Airlines' 28,000 union machinists have voted to approve a deal that would make it the nation's biggest employee-owned company. But it still must get the backing of pilots and shareholders. Under the proposed deal, United employees would get 53% of the stock in exchange for about $5 billion in wage and benefit cuts. Japan's new leader is threatening political harakiri unless he wins political reforms, More from newsman Steve Herman in Tokyo.
Prime Minister Morihiro Hosokawa has issued what many interpret as his final public appeal to try to save his political reform package. In a speech at a Tokyo hotel, playing as much to the broadcast microphones as to the business and political figures in the room, Hosokawa said he would not hesitate to resign if lawmakers failed to quickly reach an accord. The statement is seen as a dramatic gesture to win public support for the measures which have been rejected by the upper house of parliament. With just 2 days remaining in a special parliamentary session, Hosokawa made an unprecedented appeal to the public to immediately phone or fax lawmakers. Political moves here are usually made in back rooms without much regard to public opinion. But Hosokawa, realizing he may not be able to win the fight the traditional way, is hoping his populist appeal will put pressure on his recalcitrant opponents who want to keep the status quo. Steve Herman for CBS News, Tokyo.
A watchdog committee of the British Parliament is out with a blistering report this morning, highly damaging to John Major's ruling Conservative Party. It says hundreds of millions of dollars in public money has been wasted through fraud and mismanagement. Robert Sheldon, chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, says the hemorrhage must stop.
If it does continue in this way, then we could be faced with levels not just of fraud or corruption even, but something that could seriously affect our public administration.
Today's report is a political windfall for opposition Labour Party leader John Smith. Russian President Boris Yeltsin took a break today from the government crisis in Moscow, flying to St. Petersburg to mark the 50th anniversary of the lifting of the World War II Nazi siege. In solemn ceremonies, Yeltsin laid a wreath at a giant cemetery where almost half of the 1.5 million people who died of starvation are buried. Back in Moscow, Yeltsin's office said he will firmly defend economic reforms and continue a democratic course. There's little hope this morning for several people still feared trapped under the collapsed concrete roof of a supermarket in Nice, France. 4 people are known dead there, 94 injured. In Halle, Germany, police say 2 Vietnamese were killed and 2 gravely wounded in a gang fight over cigarette smuggling and a protection racket. They fought with guns and at least 1 samurai sword. Scotland Yard now blames the IRA for 3 overnight firebombs in London's Oxford Street. Nobody was injured. Coming up on 7 Minutes Past.
KNX 1070, 431, Monday morning, January 17th. It was 40 seconds those of us in the valley will never forget. 40 seconds that disrupted lives and destroyed homes. For the Times Valley Edition, it knocked our presses and offices in Chatsworth completely out of operation. Our sister plants in Orange County and downtown worked overtime to print the Valley Edition. Reporters fanned out throughout the devastated area to bring you complete coverage from day one, from details on the quake to how to get to work to where to find water and counseling. And we're proud to say almost all of our readers received a paper on time. Now, like the rest of the Valley, we have begun the long process of recovery. We hope to have our Chatsworth presses up to speed soon, and we're committed to helping others in the Valley recover too. In addition to extensive quake coverage, we are running a daily help page with updated information on how and where to get help. Now more than ever, you need a local paper. The Times Valley Edition. Your valley, your paper.
In Los Angeles, 10 days after the earthquake, more of the homeless are moving from tents into permanent shelter. More on the recovery from David Dow.
With each passing hour, California officials more and more view the $7.5 billion proposed so far in overall federal earthquake aid as startup money. State Emergency Services Director Richard Andrews predicts thousands more will be added today to the 130,000 victims who've already registered for help.
We are still increasing in every way. We are increasing the number of personnel. We're increasing the number of disaster application centers. The volume in these centers continues to go up.
The only thing shrinking, he says, is the population of tent cities, now down below 3,000. But despite the crisis atmosphere, polls indicate relatively few Angelenos want to abandon their city. One who does is Sandra Traub, who's leaving her battered apartment for Phoenix.
For me, this was the big one. I didn't die, but really was devastating.
For those remaining, some good news. The restoration of water, power, and gas service is now virtually complete. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Just before the Super Bowl, a big sports betting ring has been broken up in the Los Angeles suburb of Englewood. The operators allegedly were police officers, 8 of whom have been relieved of duty. A British judge is recommending minimum 8-year terms for the 2 11-year-old killers of Liverpool toddler Jamie Bulger. The victim's family says that's unacceptable, and people in the street agree.
I think they should be in for life. They'd come out and do the same thing again, mightn't they?
I think they should be locked away till the hospital or a doctor says that they're enough to come out.
And this morning, Britain's Home Secretary Michael Howard ruled out such an early release. Factory orders for big-ticket durable goods reached a five-year high last year, helped by a 2.2% gain in December. First-time unemployment filings were down by 56,000 last week. That's the biggest drop in 6 months. Overseas, the dollar is lower. London gold is up 75 cents. The fixing, $384.50 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 6.20 at 3914.20. Time on the World News Roundup, 10 minutes past the hour.
KNX 1070 News Radio.
Have you ever heard of a baker's dozen? Pay for 12 jelly donuts, get 13 in return. 12 shortcakes, 12 zucchini breads, you always get 13. Great concept. That is, as long as you're offering something people want. I'd like to see him try it with someone I know's tuna surprise. Well, anyway, at Courtyard by Marriott, we're offering our rooms in much the same fashion to all members of the Courtyard Club. Now, that's something people want. Stay 12 nights. The 13th is free. Members also enjoy free fax, free local phone calls, and your spouse always stays free. And how many bakers promise you that? And if you join now for $10 at one of our more than 200 hotels, we'll send you $20 in Courtyard cash. For reservations, call 800-321-2211 or your travel agent. Some restrictions apply. Why am I suddenly hungry? Courtyard, the hotel designed by business travelers.
When conducting business in San Francisco, be sure to stay at one of their seven Bay Area locations, including Fremont, Pleasanton, and San Jose Airport.
The World News Roundup on KNX has been sponsored by your Southern California Lexus dealer, who invites you to test drive a Lexus today.
Good morning, I'm Tom Sermons.
I'm Tom Huell, KNX 1070 News Radio.
48 degrees here in Hollywood, partly cloudy skies, some rain squalls moving through this Thursday morning, the 27th of January.
These are the headlines at 7-Eleven.
3.2 aftershocks rattles more nerves than windows around the Southland about a half an hour ago.
Uniformed LAPD officers hope to keep the peace by greeting quake victims waiting in line for emergency food stamps.
Ground motion from the Northridge quake indicates that LA's building codes are woefully inadequate.
We'll have details of these stories coming up for you, along with sports from Fred Gallagher.
Lakers hold off the Pacers. Mighty Ducks skate past the Jets. UCLA will now try to hold on to its number one ranking. Details at 7:15.
This is Jerry Leonard at the Pacific Stock Exchange. Good, more good reports on the economy. The Dow is down a point now. I'll have a report at 7:20.
Traffic on KNX
at 7:12. Here's Jill Angel.
Well, it's better in West Los Angeles today. Worse in the Newhall Pass, but not too bad on the Harbor Freeway. We've got Rudy Grande over the 110 and Jetcopter 1070.
Yeah, we had an accident report Harbor Freeway northbound at Century. That is UTL, unable to locate, but you're going to be very heavy from I-105 all the way up to the double-decker, south 110 right here at the Santa Monica. Cleared an accident out of the left lane. That's heavy to Wilshire. Jill?
In West Los Angeles, no change in the closure of the Santa Monica freeway. Surface streets are busy, but not as bad as they were yesterday. You do want to avoid Venice and Adams Boulevard. Those are probably the two busiest this hour. Big problems reported now near Santa Fe Springs off the 605 freeway northbound at Washington. Overturned truck was just reported and evidently is in the center divider, possibly blocking the fast lane. 605 north at Washington Boulevard. Crash reported on the Ventura freeway westbound between DeSoto and Topanga. CHP on the way and in the Newhall Pass. It's a little worse this morning than it was at least yesterday morning. Here's Skip Tucker.
But a little better than it was about a half hour, 45 minutes ago. Jill, southbound Antelope Valley Freeway, now just backed up from Golden Valley Road to Placerita Canyon. Still pretty busy on southbound Sierra Highway, though. That's a pretty tough drive from Glen Drive, about a mile before Placerita Canyon.
I was disappointed not to have the opportunity to compete against Nancy at Nationals. I have a great deal of respect for Nancy. My victory at Nationals was unfulfilling without the challenge of skating against Nancy. I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan. I am responsible, however, for failing to report things I learned about the assault when I returned home from Nationals. Many of you will be unable to forgive me for that. It will be difficult to forgive myself. When I returned home Monday, January 10th, 1994, I was exhausted, but still focused on the national championships. Within the next few days, I learned that some persons that were close to me may have been involved in the assault. My first reaction was one of disbelief. And the disbelief was followed by shock and fear. I have since reported this information to the authorities. Although my lawyers tell me that my failure to immediately report this information is not a crime, I know I have let you down, but I have also let myself down. But I still want to represent my country in Lillehammer, Norway, next month. Despite my mistakes and my rough edges, I have done nothing to violate the standards and excellence of sportsmanship that are expected in an Olympic athlete. Nancy Kerrigan and I can show the world two different types of figure skating. I look forward to being on the team with her. I have devoted my entire life to one objective: winning an Olympic gold medal for my country. This is my last chance. I ask only for your understanding and the opportunity to represent my country with the best figure skating performance of my life. Thank you.
What about Jeff?
And so, Tanya Harding, who said she would take no questions, did not take questions, making a relatively brief statement in which she said she had no prior knowledge of the events that occurred, the attack on Nancy Kerrigan, but did not inform authorities immediately upon her return from the national championships that she had learned that those close to her may, she said, may have been involved in the attack. And she began, of course, by saying that she sent her regards to Nancy Kerrigan and was so sorry to hear about what happened. Dan Revive, you've been following this story in the whole Portland area, watching Tanya Harding practicing. What's your reaction to that statement?
Well, I saw her skating this morning here in Clackamas, a suburb to the south of Portland, and so it appeared that she was still practicing her routine, that she has every intention, as she has now said, of representing the U.S. in Norway. She named no names, but it was obvious she meant her ex-husband Jeff Galluli and three other men, who are charged in a conspiracy to assault Nancy Kerrigan in Detroit. She named no names at this point, but it's thought that Galluli might be naming her. He and his lawyer have appeared just a few minutes ago at the FBI office in Portland for a second day of questioning, and the reports are that Galluli is trying to strike a plea bargain, testifying against Tanya Harding in exchange for a lighter sentence. Mitch?
Well, now, all of this, of course, raises so many questions about whether or not, indeed, she can compete in the Olympics, whether the standards of the Olympics would be met by her performance. She said that there was no offense. She was told it was no crime not to report that, but it would seem that if indeed she does go to the Olympics, she will go forever with a cloud over her, right?
Well, that makes it more of a challenge in the sporting sense. I can tell you that Tanya Harding Fan Club here in this part of Oregon, reporting 800 members, a doubling of the membership rolls just this month, fully supports her and says that she's a feisty little gal who ought to get out there and fight in Norway next month. So they're counting on her. She turned to the greater public in her statement for support. She wants to represent the U.S. despite the cloud, as you put it.
Dan Revive reporting from the Portland area again. Tanya Harding saying she had nothing to do with the attack on Nancy Kerrigan, but she did not report immediately to authorities what she learned after she returned from the national championships about what may have been the complicity of others close to her in the attack on her rival. This has been a CBS News special report. Tanya Harding with Dan Revive in Portland. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
I'm Barry Rode in KNX News Central. We'll continue to keep you updated on this story throughout the day.